And well, as we get into this word this morning, we're going to go to 2 Kings chapter 8, beginning at verse 1 through 2. Just 1 through 2 right now. 2 Kings chapter 8. The word of God says, "Now Elijah has said to the woman whose son he had restored to life, 'Go away with your family and stay,'" notice this, "'go away with your family and stay for a while, wherever you can, because the Lord has decreed a famine in the land that will last 7 years.' And the woman proceeded to do as the man of God said, and she and her family went away and stayed in the land of the Philistines for 7 years." Let's pray. Father, bless this word. Give us understanding. Use me to speak your word, Lord. Remove all distraction and help us, Lord, to understand your will for this message today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can have a seat as we get into this word this morning. As I looked at this story of the Shunammite woman, you notice a pattern in her life, a pattern that's very much like the type of pattern we're going to have in our lives. When you look at the story of this woman, you notice that there's a pattern of up and down, good and bad. And her life, one moment everything's great, and the other moment everything is wrong and bad. One minute she's up, and the other minute she's down. You see, the Bible shows us that this woman was happily married. She had her husband. She was wealthy. She had a great life. So I imagine at that moment when she got married, everything was good and everything was up. But then she found out shortly after that she couldn't have children. So everything went back down. But then we learned 2 weeks ago that Elijah tells her she's going to have a son someday. She doesn't believe it, but God gives her a son anyway at her old age. And everything is great and everything is up and she's happy. But all of a sudden, a few years later, her son, as we learned last week, suddenly dies. So now everything is down. Everything is bad. But everything is going to be okay because she goes to Elijah, as we learned last week, and Elijah goes to her house, goes to the upper room, prays, and she experiences an amazing miracle, and her son gets raised from the dead. So now everything's back up, and everything is good. You guys notice the pattern in her life. It's up and it's down. It's good and it's bad. Say that with me. It's up and it's down. It's good and it's bad. One more time. It's up, then it's down. It's bad, then it's good. How many of you ever feel like your life is that way? You should. Because that is life. Life is a pattern of ups and downs, good and bad. And right now she has a good moment. Her son is back from being dead. She has her husband. She has her house. She has her wealth. She has her servants. And she can look at her life and not only say life is good, but this woman, through everything she's gone through, can say, "And God is good." Amen? But then all of a sudden, the Bible takes us years later into this woman's life. And Elijah comes over. She's probably thinking, "Oh, Elijah's coming back. He must be hungry. He must need his room again." And Elijah goes to her house and sits with her. And Elijah doesn't look happy. Elijah looks concerned. And she looks at Elijah and says, "What's wrong, Elijah? What's going on?" He says, "Well, I got something to tell you. I heard from God today." She says, "Really? God has a message for me? Oh, I wonder what it is. I'm so excited. How much more can I take? He's blessed me so much." And he says, "It's not a good message. Thus says the Lord, go, Leave everything behind. Because there's a famine that's going to come. So bad that it's going to last for 7 years. And you're not going to survive this if you stay here. So Elijah says, I don't know where you need to go, but it can't be here. You need to pack up everything you can and just leave. Because it's coming. And all of a sudden, her life went from good to, can you guess? Bad. That's the pattern. Up, and you're down. Life is good until it's bad. When I read about this famine, I realized that the famine she was going to go through was so unfair. Because not only does pattern of life tell us that it's going to be up and down, good and bad, but life's going to be unfair to you. How many of you can say amen to that right now? You know life is going to be unfair. It was unfair for her. Why? Because the reason for the famine, the reason for the 7 years of famine, was because God was disciplining the nation of Israel for their idolatry. And the people of Israel had turned their backs on God. And in the scriptures, God would often send a famine to let the people know, you have abandoned me. But notice this woman, she's not abandoning God. She made room for the Lord. She's serving the Lord. She believes in the Lord. She's faithful, but she is suffering the consequences of someone else's choice, of someone else's bad decisions. And I want to tell you about life sometimes. You're going to suffer because of the choice of someone else. You're going to suffer because of the selfishness of someone else. It might be a friend. It might be a family member. It might be a mother that should have been there for you, a father that should have been there for you, a co-worker, a neighbor, a family member. It doesn't matter. But a lot of us are going to be in a position in life where you are going to suffer for someone else's actions, for someone else's choices. And you're going to look at God and say, God, this isn't fair. God, this isn't right. But let's understand something about God. God is not fair. If God was fair, all of us would be in sin going to hell. Why? Because Jesus took our sin on the cross as a punishment, and He did not deserve that. Amen? So sometimes the unfairness of God works in our favor. But when life is unfair to us, we're saying, God, this isn't right. So not only is her life right now unfair, it's unknown. She doesn't know where she's going. She doesn't know how she's going to survive. She doesn't know how she's going to live. She doesn't know how she's going to provide. She has no clue, no direction, because not only is life up and down, good and bad, and unfair, life is also unknown. And that's where a lot of you are at right now. You just don't know what's going to happen. You just don't know what you're going to do. You don't know how you're going to get out of this. But Elijah says, leave. And in a moment, just like that, she loses everything. She walks away from her home. She walks away from her job. She walks away from everything she knows because Elijah told her to. Folks, you have to understand that in this culture, whenever you left your home to go to another region, to go to another land because of a famine, the government would take your land over. So she knows that the second she leaves her house and her land, she's going to lose it all. And she did it. In faith, she leaves everything and loses everything. And everything she's going through now, it's unexpected. Because the pattern of life is up and down, good and bad, unfair, unknown, and unexpected. And the Bible says she settled in the land of the Philistines for 7 years. She never imagined she'd be there. She never saw it coming. But there she was. The woman that made room for God. The woman that God had raised her child from the dead. The woman that saw God working. The woman that saw the miracles. The woman that knows that there is a God is facing an unfair, unwanted, unknown, unexpected circumstance. That's a picture of our life. Our life is ever changing. Where you are at now is not where you're going to be next year or 10 years from now. We grow, we age, we change. What matters now is not going to matter to you years from now. What mattered then doesn't matter now. You realize that life is ever changing. And because life is a constant change, life is unstable, life is unpredictable, and life is unsettling. And through the good and through the bad, through the ups and through the downs, through the unfair, the unknown, the unwanted, and the unexpected, we have to understand something. Though life is unchanging, God is not. And no matter what you go through in your life, no matter how difficult or unfair, the Bible says the Lord remains the same. And if God was faithful then, He will be faithful now. And if God was in control then, He is in control now. And what this woman is about to learn is that no matter how hard life has hit her, no matter how unexpected or unfair, God had a plan. God was still in control. Because that's life. Changes on you quick. 1 minute you're happy. The next minute you're hurting. 1 minute you're up, then you're down. It reminds me of something that happened to me last summer. But last summer, me and a friend of mine decided to go out on the boat for a night of fishing. And everything was great. Let me put it in a way that guys can understand. It was non-stop. You guys know what I'm talking about? Woo! Non-stop. We were throwing the line before the line even hit the water. That fish, that hook was in his mouth. We were pulling up all the fish. They were all keepers. It was one of the best nights of fishing I've ever had. The sea was smooth. The sun was setting. The fish were out. And I was quiet. I know what the guys are thinking. Why didn't you call me? That's why I was smiling. It was peaceful. And all of a sudden, the sun set. It was dark. And I noticed the wind started picking up. And then that grassy bottom floor of the sea turned to 4 to 6, just like that, a warning. Unexpected. That was creepy, huh? Just like that, we're in church 1 minute, and then you get signs of a tornado coming. Just like that. Life can change. The winds picked up. The storm just hit. And all of a sudden, the calm seas turned to 4 to 6. Not a problem, though. I turned on the boat. I revved it. I was going into shore. And all of a sudden, my boat just dies. And I couldn't figure out what was wrong, but here's what happened. I ran out of gas. Because I realized that the gauge that said full I'm broken. So this entire time that I'm out there fishing, I'm thinking I'm full and I'm good. And but I notice, I said, man, we've been traveling for miles and I'm still full. This is what a day. This is awesome. But I had no idea my gas gauge was not telling me the truth. When I checked the tank, I was completely empty in a storm. And the worst part is, as the captain of that boat, I had to pretend and repeat. My friend looked at me, and I was like, we're fine. Hey, this is a true story. I said, hey, we're fine. Just grab that life jacket, just in case. We're fine, but just in case, just grab it. And in my mind, I'm like, what am I going to do? And the current picked up, and I was drifting out to sea, and I saw, I'm saying, man, I saw Castaway, and this is what's going to happen. My beard's going to grow out. I'm going to get really, really skinny. I'm going to get hungry. I need a Wilson ball. I'm not going to make it. It's over. My mind ran with imagination. But I took my phone out. I called Cinto. Just $1.99 a year. Best investment you can make. And that man picks up the phone and he's, the first question he asked me, are you anchored? Church, he didn't ask me, how are you? He didn't ask me, where are you? He didn't ask me, what happened? Why are you in that? The only thing that that man asked me in the middle of a storm, in the middle of drifting, in the middle of everything I was going through, he asked me, hey, are you anchored? And I said, yes, I am. He said, then just wait. I'm on my way. What a picture of our Heavenly Father. You're going through up and down, unexpected storm, everything's a mess. Inside you're pretending everything's okay. You gotta smile. You're in the house of God. You gotta be strong in front of your children, in front of your spouse. You gotta look like you're spiritual and happy. But on the inside, your imagination is running wild, telling you you're not gonna make it. You're not gonna survive. What are you gonna do? What if? And what if? And what if? But inside, our Holy Father looks at you and says, I just have one question for you. Are you anchored? And if you say yes, Lord, he says, then just wait. I'm on my way. I'm on my way. You see, life like the ocean can change on you in a second. And I remember the minute I ran out of gas, the first thing I did was grab the anchor. I was scared. Didn't know what was going to happen. In my mind, I said, man, you want to know something crazy? I said, man, I don't have my license on me. I don't have a passport. What if they think I'm a Cuban refugee and they put me in Cuba? True, so I was like, what if they pick me up? My Spanish isn't that good. I don't know what to do. But you see, the first thing I did was grab the anchor. And I just tossed it over. And that anchor went down, flew down to about 150 feet. That anchor didn't change the storm. The minute it hit the water, the storm didn't stop. It got worse. But the second I tied down to that anchor and I saw the rope get tight, I knew without a doubt I was being held. I knew. I couldn't see the anchor. I couldn't understand how deep it was. I couldn't understand how the anchor was holding on or how it was working. But the second that anchor hit the water and I saw the line tense, I knew without a doubt this anchor is holding. And the storm was raging and the waves were high and the gas was empty, but the fear went away, knowing I just had to wait and stay in. Church, let me tell you something. In Hebrews 6:19, the Bible says we have this hope. Everyone say hope. We have this hope as a what? As an anchor for ourselves. Firm, secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. This Bible verse is mentioning Jesus Christ. And the reason for our hope is because you are, in Jesus, a child of God. And if you go through ups and downs, if you go through good and bad, if you go through unfair, unknown, unwanted, unexpected, you have to understand that we can have hope as believers because we serve a God that says, I am holding your life together. I'm holding you down. And when the currents are ripping and the waves are high and you don't know if you're going to make it, you better have faith that God is working. This is why we can have hope. Hope is the expectation of something good. Behind hope, there's always a desire and a want and an expectation of something good. Fill in the sentence and I'll prove it to you. I hope I fill in the blank. No one here said, I hope I die. I hope I get sick. I hope I lose my job. No one ties in anything bad to the word hope. Hope is the expectation of something great. The expectation of something great. You want to know if you're hopeless? It's not because of the problems. It's not because of how impossible it is what you're facing. You can be sick and still have hope. Jobless and still have hope. Single and still have hope. Married with marital problems and still have hope. Why? Because hope is not based on a condition. Hope is based on an expectation. Want to know if you're hopeless, church? We'll answer that right now. What are you expecting for your life? For your future? What are you expecting God to do? It's easy to tell who's hopeless and who's not. They walk through life negative. They walk through life sad, worried, anxious, depressed, discouraged. That's hopeless. It makes no sense as a believer to live a life of hope. Because no matter how bad things get, I want to show you it gets greater. Because if you were to die right now, but you have Jesus Christ, you're on your way to heaven and it doesn't get better than that. You have hope. God says hope like an anchor. God, like an anchor, is not going to always change your problems instantly. See, that day I threw that anchor and I held on. And that man said to me, just wait. I'm on my way. Just wait. One of the hardest things as a believer is waiting on God. Especially waiting on God when things are getting worse. But this is what Elijah said. Let's look at verse 1 for a second. Elijah said to the woman whose son he had restored to life, go away with your family. Stay for a what? A while. wherever you can. But here's the great thing Elijah did. He did this on purpose. He said, because the Lord has decreed a famine. Elijah did not just say, girl, you better go because the famine is coming. He didn't say, girl, you gotta leave because the famine's gonna get real and real bad quick. You better go. The first thing Elijah said was, the Lord has decreed. That word decreed in the Hebrew is the word kara. Kara literally means to govern and control something for a greater purpose. Let me explain to you what Elijah just told this woman. That there is a famine that's coming. It's going to be bad. It's not going to be easy. But the first thing he says is, the Lord has decreed it. Meaning, the famine is coming. You can't stop it. But God is in control. But God has a plan. But God has a purpose for it. But God is working at it. But God has a reason for it. But God is behind it. You see, whatever you go through has been decreed by God. Even if it's your own choices or the devil attacking you, it has been decreed by God. Because the Bible says nothing can happen without God knowing. He's in control. And it was 7 years of hardship. 7 years of waiting. 7 years where she's in an unfamiliar land with no provision, with nothing to look forward to. 7 years, this woman is just waiting and holding on, wondering, what is God going to do? What's the point? If I go back home, I have nothing to go back home to. I've just lost everything. I lost my home, my job, my land. I lost everything. God, I trusted you. I made room for you. I believed in you. And God, it's not fair. I lost everything. But for 7 years, he's just waiting. And I can only imagine God saying, wait. I'm on my way. Maybe you're here this morning and you're waiting on God. How many of you are waiting on God to do something about something? Waiting. I'm waiting. 7 years. Year after year. Nothing's changed. Year after year, her life is hard. But there she is. Waiting. And I want to tell you this morning, you can have hope. You don't have to live your life discouraged while you're waiting, depressed while you're waiting, angry while you're waiting. You can wait with hope and great expectation that God has decreed. He's working on it. Let me prove this to you. Look at verse 3 for a second. And in verse 3, here's one reason. At the end of the 7 years, let's say that together. At the end of the 7 years, hit your neighbor and say, at the end of the 7 years. What does it tell you about those 7 years, church? It came to an end. Because the two greatest lies of the devil is the word always and never. It's always going to be this way. It's never going to change. But the Bible says that those hard, long, discouraging, depressing, seven long years came to an end. It came to an end. Because where you're at right now is not forever. It came to an end. But this Shunammite woman, she's so faithful. that the Bible says she's coming back home. After 7 long years, she's coming back home. The Bible says at the end of the 7 years, she came back from the land of the Philistines and went to the king to beg for her house and land. Church, this is crazy. Because once you lost your land and home for leaving, you could never get it back. But see, what happened was, this woman is walking back from the land of the Philistines. She has no home. She has no land. She has no job. She has no money. She's lost it all. She's with her son. She's with her husband. They're walking. They don't know what they're going to do. They don't know how they're going to survive. They don't know how they're going to make it. And they're walking to nothing. And a lot of you are in that position. You're on a journey in the unknown. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know how you're going to make it, if you're going to make it, why you're going to make it. And you're walking and walking and walking. And you just don't know. But it feels like you're walking to nothing. Can I get a witness? And this crazy girl is with her husband. And she says, honey, I was thinking. Remember, she has discernment. How many remember her discernment? She has discernment. And she says, honey, I was thinking. Why don't we go to the king and just ask him for our land back? And I imagine her husband going, nah. I imagine her husband sarcastically saying, yeah, let's go to the king. Let's also have some tea with him, honey. Let's just go and ask him for our land and he'll give it to us. Because why not? I imagine her husband being negative. You don't know what you're talking about. How many know our wives? They don't know what they're talking about. He says, let's just go and ask. Ask for the impossible. Let's just ask even though it makes no sense. Let's just ask. And I started asking myself, why is this girl, all of a sudden, the Shunammite woman has this crazy faith to go with confidence to the king and just ask for what she saw? Because I believe that as she's walking with her husband, she doesn't know what she's going to do. She doesn't know what's going to happen. She doesn't know how she's going to survive. There's all these unknowns. But I believe she started thinking about the past. I believe she started thinking about God. Maybe she looked at her son and was thinking of the time he died. And God brought him back to life. Maybe she's looking at her son and she's realizing that that son is a miracle from God because she was old and her years have gone and she could never get pregnant, but there he is. And she's thinking, man, God did a miracle and God restored. And then she said, wait a minute. If God restored my son back to life, could that same God restore my land? You see, church, here's a word of advice I want to give you. From this Shunammite woman, a powerful principle. If you have fear for tomorrow, remember the God of your past. If you have fear for tomorrow, remember what God did yesterday. Come on, give God praise. She started thinking, wait a minute. I remember, God, when you restored my life, you restored my son's life. I remember when you did the impossible. I wonder, God, if you can still do that now. The answer is yes, because the Bible says that God is the same yesterday, forever. And the God that did it yesterday is the same God you serve today and the same God you will serve forever. If you're afraid, go back. How has God been good to you, church, in the past? How has God provided? How has God healed? Was God with you then? He's with you now. Give him praise and glory. You look back and say, God, if you did it then. That's why I get mad at my mom sometimes because we're driving in the car and she's looking for parking. And she said, now, Jesus, I need a parking space. And your pastor's like, but it happened. Because she's remembering a time that God gave her parking space. She said, well, if God did it then, Lord, I need... And then she gets a good one. And here's the crazy thing. I'm driving with Jerrica. There's no parking. And then Jerrica said, now Jesus? And I said, oh, gosh, no, my wife. My mom got to her. And then she calls me the other week. She went to a doctor's appointment and she calls me and she says, you're not going to believe what happened. And then what? Is the baby okay? Yeah, I got a parking space. In the front. It was crazy. There was no parking anywhere. And I prayed and the Lord opened it up. And I was like, nah, but I'm working on it. Does God really care about where you park? I don't think so. But I know mom's saying yes. And my wife too, yes. But church, here's the principle we got to learn. Remember yesterday so you can face today. Don't ever forget the God of yesterday because He will catch you through today. And if God was good to you then, that's why you better write down every miracle, every praise. Write the date and the time. Because whenever you're scared, discouraged, or afraid, like this Shunammite woman, you just reference back to God then, and He's the God you have now. That's what David did. How do you think David faced that giant? We get it all wrong. Oh, he was faithful. More than faithful. He's facing Goliath. Everyone else is scared. Everyone else is terrified. But this shepherd boy faces him and says, you're going down. And everyone said, you can't do it. It's too hard. It's too difficult. You won't make it. You're fixing to die, David. Don't do it. But you know what David said? He didn't say, I got this. I can sling it. You know what David said? I remember one time God delivered me from a lion and a bear. This fool, just like it. You know what David did? He faced what he was facing today with what God did yesterday. He said, God, I remember when you did this. And I know you're that God today. So this Shunammite woman's walking. She says, God, you restored my son. You can restore my land. You can restore my life. You can restore everything. And there she is walking. You can have hope. Because the God you had yesterday is the same God today and forever. You can have hope because look at verse 4 and 5. It gets crazy in church. The king was talking to Gehazi, the servant. Now, let me tell you, what are the odds that Gehazi happened to be in the presence of the king? With God, there are no odds, no coincidences, no chances. There's only divine appointments. Amen? With God, there are no odds. No chances. Only divine. You know what divine appointment is? God says, you think you're living in your free will, and you are. But I'm setting up everything at the right time, at the right place, with the right people. He's that anchor that's working when you don't see it. And the Bible says, the king was talking to Gehazi, Elijah's servant, the servant of the man of God, and said, notice what the king asked. Tell me about all the great things Elijah has done. Church, of all the questions this guy wanted to know, of all the things he wanted to know about Elijah, do you think that's a coincidence? God is so God. He's so sovereign, He even controls conversations. Someone might be talking about you right now. You don't even know. Just as Gehazi was telling him, notice, telling the king how Elijah has restored the what? The dead to life. Church, Elijah did a lot of great things. Elijah could have told him, that Gehazi could have told him all these stories about Elijah. The king said, tell me a story about Elijah. Gehazi could have said, well, okay, what can I think of? Because Elijah has done a lot in these 7 years. Let me give you an example. This man could have said, well, once upon a time, there was a great famine, you know, the famine we're in. And these ravens fed Elijah for years. And there was a brook, and it never ran dry. Nah, that's not, I'm not going to tell it that. Well, King, one time, I can tell him about the time Elijah prayed, and fire fell down from heaven and consumed an altar that was filled with water, and it was impossible. And then all these prophets of Baal were murdered. That's a cool, no, I can't say that. Oh, wait, what about the time that Elijah threw his cloak in the Jordan River and the Jordan River split open? That's an awesome story. Nah, I don't feel like I want to tell him that one. My favorite Elijah story, once upon a time, there was a group of brats, these crazy kids, making fun of him for being bald. Elijah prayed, a bear came out of nowhere and mauled and killed all the kids. True story. Don't mess with Baltimore. And he could have said, man, I can tell him that story. That's a great one. No, he didn't tell him that one. Well, what about the time that the head of an axe fell into the water and Elijah prayed and when the axe head just started floating? It was crazy. It was impossible. And the man got his tool back. Nah, I'm not going to tell him. I guess let me think. Well, King, I can just tell you this one if you like. Yeah, tell me. Once upon a time, there was a Shunammite woman who couldn't have kids. But Elijah prophesied that she was going to have a son. King, a year later, she had a son. Years later, King, that boy had a headache. Went to the mother's lap and King, wouldn't you know, he died. He died? He died. But King, this is crazy. Because this Shunammite woman, she ran to Elijah, traveled like 80 miles to find him. She came back. And Elijah went back to that upper room where that boy was. He laid and prayed. And that boy was raised back. Yeah. And as Elijah and him are, as the servant of Elijah and him are talking about this, the woman walks in. Church, you're smart enough to know, are those some crazy odds? What are the odds? What are the chances? No. With God saying, go, while you're walking and not knowing what's going to happen, I'm over here already working. Come on, give God praise. Amen. I'm over here working. You're walking saying, what am I going to do? How am I going to live? What if he says no? How am I going to get my land back? How am I going to survive? What am I going to do about this and that? Some of you are like that. And God says, this way. And as they're talking, Shunammite woman walks in. Proverbs 21:1. She thinks that she has to ask the king for her land back. But the Bible says this in Proverbs about God. The king's heart is in the hands of what? The Lord. See, God is so sovereign, He can move in the hearts of anyone. And He says, you think it's the king that's going to do it? No, I control the king because I am the King of Kings. And I'm walking in this. It's in my hands. And he's there. Hey, king. Ask about Elisha. Gehazi. Don't tell him about anything else but the Shunammite woman. And as they're talking, hey, Shunammite woman, come now. Come now. The timing, the placement, everything is perfect. She's there walking, worried. What am I going to say? How am I going to start this conversation? What if he says no? What if they laugh? What if I can't get anything back? What am I going to do? But God's hand was on. Verse 6. Good story. It's not over. She walks in, sweating, worried. The king asked the woman about it. He said, are you her? Her what? Are you the one whose son was raised? Yeah, that was me. Wow. She told him. Then the king assigned an official to her case. He said to him, give back everything that belongs to her, including all the income from the land from the day she left the country. Church, I gotta tell you something. God's pretty good. Because this, she just wants her land back. She's gonna ask him for, and then the minute she walks in, the king, she doesn't even ask this. Are you her? Yeah, I'm her. He tells the person, hey, give her everything she lost and then some. If that's not God, I don't know who is. Give her everything she lost. That's what's called. When you get back what you've lost, that is restoration. When you get back what you lost and then some, that is restoration with grace and mercy. She didn't deserve it, but God's hand was on it. And here's the crazy part. You want to know what's crazy? Say, Pastor, what's crazy? The Bible never records that she even asked for the land. She couldn't even get to the asking because God was already at the delivery. The Bible says, I will do more than you ask. I will give you vineyards you never planted. And here she is trying to figure it out. What am I going to say? What am I going to do? What if he says no? What if I don't get it back? How am I going to live? How are we going to pay bills? That's how some of you sound. You are the crazy one. Because God's hand is already on it. He says, get everything back. This woman couldn't believe it. But in a moment, her whole life changed. And God restored everything. I'm going to tell someone here this morning, you serve a God who restores. Some of you might have lost some things, you've gone through some things, but you just wait because God is on His way. His hand is on. Everything's in His hand. He's controlling. Before you get all excited, though, before your hopes get up, before you go home and say, yeah, I'm waiting on you, God. You're going to change it. You're going to do it. I want to tell you the truth about this passage. She did something again to make room for a miracle. Look at verse 2. The woman proceeded to what? To do as the man of God. Life was good. And Elijah went up to her and said, thus says the Lord, leave everything and trust. She didn't know why it was happening, how she was going to survive. She had no clue. But you know what I love about the Shunammite woman? She trusted God. And she obeyed. She trusted God. And obeyed. Psalm 37, 34 puts it this way. Wait for the Lord. I didn't say wait. Wait for the Lord. And keep his way. He will exalt you to inherit the land. He will exalt you, but the Bible says, wait. The word wait there in the Hebrew is amazing. Because it derives from a word that literally means hope. Some translation says hope in the Lord. Because it's the same thing about waiting. Waiting or hoping is the same in the Hebrew. Hope in the Lord. And while you're hoping, keep his way. Trust him and obey. There's no hope if there's no obedience. There's no hope if there's no trust. You have to see something about God. If you want to really measure your spiritual life, it's not how much of the Word you know, it's how much of the Word you live. And a lot of you want to hope in the Lord and say, I want God to work miracles. I want God to restore my life, restore my family, restore my future, restore my marriage, restore me. I want God to work a mighty miracle. But here's what you have to know about God. Throughout the Bible, people that experienced the mighty hand of God and the miracles and all the things that God did for them, these are people that first acted in obedience and trust. Let me give you some examples. There was a miracle where a widow had running oil during a recession and she kept selling the oil because God was providing. But God did that miracle because God first commanded her to go and feed Elijah. And she did it. When the blind man was healed of his blindness in John 9, before Jesus even opened his eyes, he said, go and wash yourself. And he did. Before Naaman got healed, he said, go 7 times into the Jordan and dip yourself. Before God multiplied the fish and the loaves in Matthew, he said, bring me the basket. Before the walls of Jericho fell down, he said, walk around it and keep walking. And on the 7th day, walk around it 7 times. They kept doing it and they did it. See, a lot of you want a miracle without obedience. And it doesn't work that way. In fact, the word hope in the Hebrew is a word pronounced tikvah. Tikvah is a rope that's tied and bound. Think about this, church. God says hope is like a rope. That's time. Now let me test your sailing skills. If you and I were in that storm in that boat, and you would tell me, Pastor, we're drifting. Drop the anchor. I said, okay. I dropped the anchor. And you say, Pastor, we're still drifting. I threw the anchor. Did you tie it? Well, you never said that. Oye, chico, make up your mind. You told me to throw the anchor. You would assume that I tied it, didn't I? How crazy would I be if you and I are on that boat And I said, can you believe the anchor didn't work? Stupid anchor. I can't believe it. I want my money back. I threw the anchor and it didn't work. We're still drifting. You would tell me, Pastor, the problem is not the anchor. The problem is your failure to tie it. Let me tell you something about God. He says, I am the anchor. I'll hold your life together. I'll keep you from drifting. I'll hold you in the storm. I'll work when you don't see me. But in order for you to experience the power of God like this anchor, in order to see God work in your life, in order to really see hope come to life, you got to be at the other end. And obedience is like timing. So while God is working, and you're going through the storm, and life is hard, you're at the other end of the rope knowing, I trust you, Lord, and I'm going to obey you. I don't understand what's happening. I don't understand why I'm going through this. But Lord, I trust that you're working, and as I wait on you, I'm going to secure myself in you, Lord. Trust and obey. Because there is no other way, God. I'm just going to obey. You really want to see a miracle from God in your life? Obey. Just like the guy asked me. When I called Tito, first thing he asked me was what? Are you in? And I might start using this for counseling because I sit down with a lot of people that are, my life is terrible, my life doesn't work out, my marriage is in trouble, my kids are rebellious, I don't feel God in my life, my prayers aren't getting answered, my finances are a mess, my whole life is a mess, my mental health, my life. And as on the first thing I'm going to ask them now is, hey, are you in? Because if you're not living in obedience to the Lord, you might as well just toss it and stop believing that God's going to work in your life. Because God can only work in the life of a person that on the other end is bound by obedience. That's how you're going to see a miracle, but obedience is hard. This woman, she obeyed God. And for 7 years, she did what God. So yeah, while we wait here in hope and great expectation that God's working, God's going to bless us, God's going to restore, but understand something. Are you anchored? Is your life marked by obedience? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray now. We pray, Lord, that no matter what we go through, we trust and obey. That you work miracles. You do the impossible. Your hand is on everything. You have divine appointments. You are working everything out before we even go through what we go through. You're already there. You are working in people. You're moving in hearts. You move the hearts of kings. You have the authority, Lord. You do it all. We have nothing to fear or worry. But Father, the real question this morning is how many of us are on the other end of the road, bound by obedience and trust? Convict us now, Lord. If in our hearts there's no obedience, there's no faithfulness, but we still expect you to work on our behalf. Forgive us, Lord, for that arrogance and that pride to assume that you're going to bless us and work miracles and change our lives while we live in sin and disobedience. And help us to be like the Shunammite woman. Through all the ups and downs, and good and bad, and unfair and unknown and unexpected and unwanted problems, Lord, she was obedient. And when you said go, she went. She believed for the impossible. But she knew in her heart she was always faithful and obedient to you. But there are many here today that can't see that. This is you this morning. And you're saying, Pastor, I want God to work miracles. I want God to restore, to do the impossible. But I know I'm not obedient. I do my own thing. I go my own way. But today, just want to trust and obey you as I wait on the Lord. That's you. Would you put that hand? It's a serious commitment today. God bless you. God bless you. All along. Let's all stand for our feet today. As we pray. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to give you the opportunity this morning to make Jesus Christ first and foremost the Lord of your life. He said, He is the answer. In Him we have hope. The hope of eternity, the hope of heaven, the hope of forgiveness for our sins only rest on Jesus. There is no other way to God the Father. And I want to tell you, no matter how unfair life is to you, life was unfair to Jesus. He did not deserve what he got. But he chose to step into that cross to die for our sins. The Bible says that if you believe that Jesus Christ died and he rose, he is faithful and just and will forgive you of your sins. And the other end of your life, God wants to be that anchor that holds you now, forever, and even into eternity. But it's your choice whether you're truly going to obey, surrender your life. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if this is you today, we pray this way. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. As I turn to you now, Lord, I surrender to you. And I ask you to be the Lord of my life. Jesus, I receive you and your forgiveness. Amen. If you're here today with every head still bowed, you're saying, Pastor, I'm a child of God. I'm a faithful believer in Jesus Christ. But like the Shunammite woman, I'm in a place of unknown and fear. What if? And I know that at the end of my rope, there's God, the anchor, who holds everything together, who is sovereign and working everything on my behalf. But right now, I'm just waiting. But if your commitment today is to say, Lord, as I wait for you, I'm going to trust and obey. If that's you today, would you put that hand up so I can pray over you right now? God bless you. God bless you all around the world. Father, you see the hands, you see the hearts that pray in the name of Jesus. Whoever is walking the unknown, not sure what's going to happen, what if, it can be frightening, Lord. But I pray, Lord, as you've shown us the past 3 weeks to this Shunammite woman, we know and trust that you can do all things. You can work miracles. And if she had the confidence to walk up to a king, to ask for the impossible. Father, we in you have the confidence to come to your throne in Jesus' name and believe for the impossible. And I pray, Father, you will restore what's been lost if it be your will. And I pray, Lord, you bring hope back to a person that's discouraged and down and depressed. And that this person, Father, whoever he or she is, will be bound by obedience and waiting on you, Lord, because on the other end, you are working when we don't see it, Father. And Lord, if you can bring back life and if you can restore land, I can only imagine what you can do in our lives, Lord, where we trust and obey you faithfully, Lord. Forgive us for doubting, but you are God and you are sovereign, in control of all things. You move in the hearts of kings. You work in our behalf. So we pray in the name of Jesus for peace as we go into the unknown. We trust you. Give us the strength to obey Jesus. Amen. 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 Can I give God some praise this morning? Amen.